Hi, everybody. Welcome to another session. Title of this one, Guerrilla Multi-Level Marketing. And notice the spelling of guerrilla, please. It's not G-O-R. It's G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A. If you are a marketer, and you are, you must know about the Guerrilla Marketing Series. This thing is in more languages than I think anybody speaks. They've sold over 15 million Guerrilla books, and it is the brainchild of a gentleman named J. Conrad Levinson. And in the annals of marketing history, this guy is, you know, he's in the top 10. He's probably in the top 5. He is an icon in the marketing world. When he was in the advertising world, he created some things like that I know all of you will know. Even if you're too young to remember them, you've heard them. Tony the Tiger, Finger Lickin' Good with Kentucky Fried Chicken, Fly the Friendly Skies for United Airlines. This guy worked for J. Walter Thompson. He was vice president. And his clients, what a list of clients, Honda, PBS, Playboy, Rolling Stone, AT&T, Midas Muffler, Pepsi, Apple, Visa, I mean, it just goes on forever. And he's the mastermind behind this series. And as you can probably imagine, he did not sit down and write this book, Guerrilla Multi-Level Marketing. It was really written predominantly by my guest today. And he is, in his own right, a phenom. He has written over 7 books. He's been written about in the Wall Street Journal, Chicago Tribune, National Examiner, everything from Working Mothers to some of the best business magazines around. And he is the co-author of this book. He also happens to be a successful network marketer. He's reached the diamond level in his network marketing program. So he knows from whence he speaks. His sponsor, by the way, is one of the other of the 3 co-authors of the book. Her name is Marcella von Harting. And you may remember that we did a mastermind session with Marcella a while back. This is a lady 15-plus years in this business, over 200,000 representatives in her organization, truly around the world, U.S., Canada, Australia, Japan. And that's this gentleman's sponsor. I have a great deal of respect for this man, not only as an editor and a publisher, not only as a marketing coach. He is a certified guerrilla marketing coach. And he is my coach. Beyond my coach, he's my business partner. He is working with me on my project with Belief Busters. And frankly, Belief Busters was great stuff and a best-kept secret. And this gentleman's going to change all that. I even wrote him into my vision. That's how much I think of him. And just an interesting little tidbit. This is the second time we have recorded this mastermind session. This gentleman lives next to what he calls an enchanted national forest in New Mexico. And was the victim, as was everybody in that area, of a massive thousands of acre forest fire. And that knocked out phones and just everything. And then a second one came along. Blessedly, he was spared. His home was spared, but phone lines out, common services that we all take for granted gone. And we did our mastermind session before under those conditions, and the quality was just atrocious. So he and I both agreed that at a later time, and sadly for him, it was much later. It's been about 3 months. You know, can you imagine a guy who operates more than 30 websites having no internet? He learned how to manage stress. I'll bet we can ask him about it. He's a wonderful guy, and I could not be more proud to be in partnership with him, and I'm really looking forward to what you're going to learn about guerrilla multi-level marketing in this session. The concept of guerrilla marketing, if you're not aware of it, it's specifically geared for small businesses and entrepreneurs, and it's based on human psychology, not experience, judgment, guesswork, you know, flying by the seat of the pants. And one of the things I think you'll appreciate greatly is that instead of money being invested in these various processes and techniques and tactics, the primary investments of marketing that Jay Levinson came up with should be time, energy, and imagination. So that's enough to wet your whistle, I hope. My good friend, my business partner, someone I have tremendous admiration for, his knowledge, and the bottom line with this guy is contribution. He won't do anything for money. He will do it for the difference it makes, the contribution it makes. He leads with his heart, and his name is James Dillehay. Welcome, sir.
Hey, John. Thank you for that warm introduction.
You are welcome. It is warm. It's also accurate. As I love to be accurate. Tell me how it began, guerrilla multi-level marketing.
Well, it happened, ironically enough, at an event where I first met you, which was about 10 years ago or so, at an Upline Masters weekend. And I had gone there to improve my network marketing skills by seeking the wisdom of those who had become very successful, some of the big names like Randy Gage and Tom Schreider and Richard Brook and yourself and several others. And I went there with this anticipation that if I listened to these people, I would get the secret for building a huge, successful network marketing business. And as I went through the weekend and we went through the breakout sessions and I listened to all these people that had become wildly successful, I got it that each one of them had built their business in a different way. It was rather remarkable, and I'd gone in there to find the one secret, the one way that I could make this thing work for myself. And instead, I came out with many, many ways. And I realized as I left that it wasn't about what you did specifically. It was really about how you felt. And it was about your intention. And it was about your confidence and things like that. And that planted a seed in my mind, which later manifested when I became a guerrilla marketing coach. I looked at the guerrilla marketing system, which offers 100 different tactics for building a business. And because I'd had a background in network marketing as well as traditional marketing, I thought, how can we make this work for network marketers? So we went out and interviewed something like 24 of the big names in network marketing. There's a big list of them. We got all their personal stories. And when I went to them, I said, I don't really want to know how you're building now. I want to know what it was like when you were starting from ground zero. What was it like when you were broke, you had challenges, you had everything against you? What did you do? What was the thing that you did that made a difference? So we got those stories, and we tied them in to the 100 guerrilla marketing tactics. And what it does, it basically gives you a lot of options for building your business, and it does it in a systematic way. A system that you can not only make your business better, but you can teach that to people in your group.
James, that flies in the face of something that network marketers have said for years. Not all of them. It is controversial. But one of the things that they have said is you have to have a duplicatable system.
I agree. You do. And guerrilla marketing is a duplicatable system. I think the difference is that it offers more variety. And typically what I hear you saying is that we get the message that it can be done only one way, and this is the way you have to do it. Well, I'm a very scientific person when it comes to business, and I like to look at the evidence. And here's the evidence. Network marketing has a 90% dropout rate in their first year. We have a gentleman in the industry named Jerry Campisi, who was interviewed in Richard Poe's book, Wave 3. And what Jerry Campisi found was that when he offered his distributors multiple ways of prospecting, multiple ways of building their business, their sales doubled. And the distributors that were involved in this stayed longer than distributors that did not go that route. So the evidence speaks for itself.
one of the things that got my attention about this book very early on was the list of people that you had in here. It really was like that mastermind session that you've spoken about, only more. It's also very much like, the mastermind weekend that you've spoken about. And it's really, there are a whole bunch of people who have been masters for the mastermind session. Margiela Prandi, Randy Gage, Joe Rubino, Doug Fireball, Lorna Rasmussen, Tim Sales, Keith McEachran, John David Mann, Danny Johnson, Costa Gara. You've got a number of people here that I haven't done mastermind sessions with that I look forward to talking to that I haven't met yet, but that's what it looks like. And so you gleaned from them what it was that they really did way back when to build their business, not necessarily what they're teaching and preaching now.
Correct. And the interesting thing is I basically relived that initial insight from the Upline Masters weekend, where here again, now I'm even talking to more people that have been successful, and I'm learning even more ways that people have built their business. Now, despite the diversity in which these people did build their business, there was one thread that was common among all of them, and this is something that your Belief Buster system is just, I think it's built around, and something that I'm very attracted to, and that is the idea that you must combat, on some level, you must combat your negative thinking and your negative beliefs, and you have to replace that with positive thoughts. And every single one of the people that we interviewed that had been successful in network marketing, this was the one thing that they did have in common.
That they had positive beliefs.
And that they had to struggle against negative beliefs. And I think this is something you mentioned to me the other day, that if a person doesn't have a negative belief, you know, it's a 50-50 chance that they could succeed at what they want to achieve. But if they have a negative belief that's holding them back, that's self-sabotaging them, they've got to deal with that before they can move forward.
James, how many of these men and women made it a point to work with their people on their people's beliefs? Did you find that?
You know, I didn't ask them that, and that's a very interesting question. That's something we could go back and do, because that would be that'd be an incredible exploration.
All right, so let's shift a little bit. What are the essential elements of a guerrilla multi-level marketing approach?
Well, the guerrilla marketing approach starts with a seven-sentence plan. And that seven-sentence plan lays out the foundation for what you're going to do moving forward. As you know, a lot of people that join network marketing come in with big dreams and often small budgets. And they don't typically have a business background. So this is kind of been one of my pet peeves, and I've heard it a lot in the industry. Is you hear it from your upline, and you've just enrolled, and you hear this message, and the message is, treat your network marketing like it's a business. And that's like handing an apple to a person that's never tasted an apple and expecting them to know what it's like. If you don't know what it's like to be in a business, then you can't think of it as a business. You can't treat it like a business. And that was where the concept of bringing the guerrilla marketing into network marketing came from, is to give people a basic foundation, something that they could learn from, something that they could use, and something they could pass on to their group that helped them not just create a business-like approach, but create a profitable business. Because something like 50 to 60% of all new businesses fail in their first year. So it's not that you want to go out and emulate that, you know. We want to emulate a profitable business model. And the seven-sentence marketing plan does that.
So I take it we're going to dig into that?
I'd love to. And I'll tell you the first sentence. And the first sentence is, what is the most desired action that you want receivers of your marketing message to take? And marketing message is basic. I'm going to make that real simple for you. Marketing is every communication that you make. It's how you speak. It's how you dress. It's how you answer your phone. It's what's on your business card. It's what's on your website. It's everything that you communicate. And when you think of it that way, it makes marketing more an inner thing. Because if you're confident in what you're doing, then your communication comes across with confidence. So what we're doing in this first sentence is we're asking you, what is it that you would like people to do when they get your marketing message? And we ask for very specific things, like, I want 1,000 new people to join my newsletter list in the next 3 months. Or I want 2 new distributors to roll in my opportunity every month. Or I want at least 4 of my team members to attend the company convention coming up in the next few months. See, all of those are very specific, and that gives you targets and something to work from. There's the second sentence in the marketing plan is, what are the benefits of your product or service that set you aside from your competition? And by benefits, I mean, what's the hot buttons? What does this thing do for your customer? I'll just give you an example of the difference between a benefit and a feature. A benefit is energizes and invigorates. A feature is best antioxidant on the market. Another benefit is improves your eyesight. A feature is contains vitamin A. So, you know, features are kind of blah, blah, blah. It's just, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't move people. People don't buy features, they buy the benefits. So what you do is you go through and you make a list of all the benefits of your product and your opportunity, and you can get these oftentimes from your company literature. But another place, and this is kind of not widely known, but you can go back to your customers, people that have bought your product, and ask them what they got out of it. And you can uncover all kinds of things that you never thought of before. So you make this list of benefits, and then you compare it with a company that has products like yours, and you look at the benefits they list and the ones that you list, and the ones that you list that are different are the ones that you highlight in your marketing communications, because that's what sets you apart.
I love that. I have for years, my background is as a professional marketer, and one of the very early rules I learned was, when in doubt, be different. It's the number one reason, I believe, for example, that in the beverage market, that Michelob beer was successful. It's not really a very good beer, much less a premium beer, but oh, that bottle, and like Perrier, you know, I mean, we're going to pay a buck for a bottle of water, then give me a unique bottle. Coca-Cola is another one.
Yeah,
so I clearly understand that. Let me go back to something here. Both product and opportunity. You're having people do benefits in both arenas, yes?
That's correct. And in fact, most network marketing companies have several products, so you would do one of these plans for each product that you would go out and promote, and you would do one for your opportunity itself.
Excuse me for interrupting. Under the heading of products, do we need to do that? I mean, some of the people who are listening to this have 300 products. I don't imagine that guerrilla marketing, which is all about leveraging time and money, would want people to do this whole breakdown for all 300. Would that be accurate?
Well, in a practical sense, yeah, you couldn't do it. You'd take the top products, and I think most of the different programs that I've seen, most of the time you've got 1 or 2 lead products that you go out with because they're dramatically life-changing, and they're the ones that people experience the fastest. So those are the ones that you would probably do this with. And some second-tier products that you like to come in and upsell to people that have bought the first product. So you might do that with some of those. And then, you know, if you've got 300 products, you're probably not going to do this. But big companies like Johnson & Johnson, they have thousands of products. And there's probably not a home in the United States that doesn't have a product made by Johnson & Johnson. And they do one of these kind of plans for each of those products. So for a network marketer, on their own, it's going to be impractical to do that. But 1 or 2 products, yeah, you can do that. And this isn't going to take you that long to do, and you can fit the 7 sentences on a couple of sheets of paper.
James, either your personal philosophy or in the guerrilla marketing philosophy, would you focus on those products that you, as the individual network marketer, had the strongest affinity for? Or would you focus on the company's best sellers, whether you used and loved them, liked them, or not?
It's a great question, because I've dealt with that several times. And every time that I have moved away from my own feelings and gone with what the company was promoting, I fell down. It just fell flat. It was coming from the head, coming from the intellect, whereas my feeling was coming from my heart, and my words were coming from my heart. It was what I experienced, and that's what communicates. You know, people are, I think there's a lot of confusion about marketing and advertising, and we tend to want to do what we think is going to work based on, because it's worked somewhere else that we've seen or witnessed. But what works best is what's genuine. People are starving for that uniqueness and that sense of this is real. And they get that in a person-to-person communication.
One of the things that opened my eyes about that, and I don't mean to be contrarian with you, a gentleman who we also did a mastermind session with a while back, Jack Zufelt, said something that I thought was pretty fantastic. And it really opened my eyes, because very much what you just said is where I have been for 20 years in this business. Hey, be a product of the product. You got to be in love with your product. And Jack said, yeah, but there is a medical product called penicillin, which I think the world of. It's probably, as an individual product, saved more lives than any other invention, drug, I don't know what you call, miracle drug, whatever. And I could recommend it, Jack said, to anybody. I could sell penicillin with passion, with conviction. Now, if you were able to see me right now, you'd see that on my wrist is a silver bracelet with red writing on it, and it's called a First Alert bracelet. And what it says is, in case of accident or anything like that, do not give this man penicillin. You'll kill him. So it's not a product that Jack would take ever because it would kill him, but it is a product he could wholeheartedly recommend. Is that where you're going with what you're talking about?
Here's the thing. I don't really believe that there's one answer for everyone, just like I don't believe there's one marketing technique that everybody can use and succeed at. Everybody's different. We have all kinds of different personalities. And even though Jack might be successful selling, I know a lot of people in network marketing that don't want to do anything that have anything to do with sales or selling. What they're doing is they're sharing. And they're not interested in selling what's the best product out there, or they're not interested in going out and selling to every stranger that they meet. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't people in network marketing that can do that. There are, and some have been wildly successful. But the majority of people, I would even go out on a limb and say at least 90% of the people in network marketing are not salespeople, and they're not interested in selling in any form. So when you ask them to promote the product, you've got to get something that's real for them. You're not going to convince or persuade them to become salespeople if it's not in their nature to do that.
So a tenet of guerrilla marketing that I might share, having authored and have the philosophy called Get Rich Slow, there's an element of Get Rich Slow where what I encourage people to do, James, is market to themselves, because that's a market they really know. I mean, I know how I like to be spoken to. I know what features and benefits appeal to me, what features substantiate what benefits, and what real benefits I'm after. I know my needs and wants better than even the most crack team of Madison Avenue market research psychologists do. So I've encouraged people for years to take the shortcut, certainly in the beginning of their network marketing careers, and go out and simply find people who have similar needs and wants, similar values, because they know so much about that. That would be a kind of page out of the guerrilla marketing book, yes?
Definitely. And what we do, even though the book is called Guerrilla Marketing and it's about marketing, we talk about the important thing is building relationships. The marketing part is really a way of getting people to come toward you so that you can get them on your warm list. And when I say get them on your warm list, that means you can build a relationship with them, because network marketing is about the relationship. It's not about the product and the opportunity. And some people are probably going to shoot me down for that, but I think it's about relationships. It's about people.
Is that one of the major things that separates network marketing from any other form of marketing out there?
I believe it's what distinguishes it. And I was in traditional business before I got into network marketing. In fact, when I got into network marketing, right before I joined, I was very prejudiced against it. I felt it was, and it was just from bits of information here and there that it was hucksters and fast selling and rah, 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 and rallies and things that I just didn't identify with. And once I did get into it and I started exploring it, I learned that the key in network marketing was the relationships that you build with people, and they stay with you and they grow, and these people become close to you. They become part of your family, and it enriches your business life, because your business is about people. It's not just about products and opportunity. It's about living, breathing people. That experience has been invaluable to me in all my other business contacts moving forward from my network marketing experience. I think every business owner should take some time out and do network marketing just for that experience.
I got it. Let's get back to your sentences, James.
Okay, we were on sentence two, which was about listing the benefits that get you to stand out. Sentence number three is, who is your audience? Who are you communicating to? And what we do is we define who that is by their niche, by what's interesting them. Or you can even go back to your benefit list, and you can define your audience by the benefits. For instance, let's say you've got a product that relieves pain. Well, who suffers from pain? Runners, weightlifters, arthritis sufferers, truck drivers, seamstresses, office workers, people in their 60s and 70s that are starting to get arthritis. I mean, you can define your niche, and when you can define who it is that you're communicating to, you can then go to the magazines that they read. You can go to the websites that they visit. You can go to the events that they attend, and you can get a presence there so that people that are looking for relief from their particular challenge find you with the solution. It's a much more empowering position to be in when people come to you and you have the solution than it is for you to go knocking on doors and trying to sell them on it. So by defining your audience, you're able to position yourself in front of them. And that's a very powerful part of this seven-sentence plan. Sentence number four.
James, before you get to number four,
yeah.
What happens if your audience isn't you? What happens if your audience isn't commonly the people you relate to, know how to reach, hang out with, etc.?
Well, I think that happens a lot, just because there's so much diversity out there. I'll give you an example. One of the products that I built, well, actually became a diamond from this one particular product, was very good for weightlifters and other athletes that exerted a lot of physical energy. And I myself was not a weightlifter. But it didn't prevent me from saying something like, well, I found that instead of walking a half a mile a day, suddenly I was walking 3 miles a day, and I wasn't tired, and I wasn't sore. So you can find a commonality. You can find something that they would relate to, even if you're not coming from where they're coming from. Does that make sense?
It does. And so once you find that commonality, how do you pursue those people? I mean, they're not your kit and kin, and that seems to be a real challenge.
Well, that's what the guerrilla marketing system is about. It's about how you find those people, and we list over 100 different ways of doing that. And you know, the different ways are geared towards your personality, and you might be the type of person that just is totally shy, doesn't want to get up in front of people, doesn't want to talk to people face to face, but you love being on the internet. You love hanging out at MySpace or Facebook and, you know, having a web page and things like that. So that's the area that we, you know, give you tactics on how to do that and how to make that work. Now, sooner or later, you're going to have to do some little bit of relationship building, but the way that you get your prospects, the way that you go out and find those niche audiences, is up to you. And I think that's something that network marketing needs more of, because all too often we're sort of force-fed a few ways of prospecting, and they just don't fit. I can remember my upline telling me they actually wanted all of us to go out and go to the mall and go up to strangers and start a conversation and then get them to come to a meeting. And, you know, that's fine for certain personality types, and I think it's actually good to do that once or twice. But how many people in an organization do you think are actually going to do that on a daily basis or even a weekly basis?
I'm not going to do it on an ever basis.
Not very many people are going to do that. Maybe 3 to 5% might do that, but it's going to be rare. So what we're doing is we're looking for things that fit different personality types. We're not trying to force people to do the business one way. I think that one-way attitude is what's contributed to the big dropout. People get discouraged because they can't do the business the way it's been told them to do it. And it can be done this other way, and there's evidence that it has been done that way. So that's where we're coming from with that.
I got it. Back to your sentences. I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. So the sentence number four is, what do you want to be known for? What's your niche? And this is something that's, it's an optional sentence, but it's been something that's been helpful to people. You, John, are known as the greatest networker in the world. Even that's the title of your book. Danny Johnson is known as the script lady. Sandy Ellsberg was known as the bag lady. So people get these little brief little monikers that kind of associate them, and it's a great way that people can remember you. Sentence number five is, what specific tactics will you use to reach your goals? In the book, we list 100 different tactics, and we give you a checklist. And you can go down that list, and you can decide which of these are appropriate for you and which are not. And once you've gone through that list, you have then a battery of tools that you can use. And some of these are probably things that you may have heard of, some of them that you may have heard of, but actually just kind of like didn't think about using it at all. So what we do in the book is we go through and we describe each of these tactics, and sometimes we add stories from people that have used it to become wildly successful. And then you get to make a list of the tactics that you're going to use for your specific personality type that will propel you toward what your aim is. Sentence number six is, what is your identity? And by identity, we mean, what is it? What are your values? What are your beliefs? What are the things that are important to you? And we want to make a distinction here between identity and image. Image is something that you do that's false. It's a face that you want people to see, but not necessarily connected to who you are. And you see that a lot with corporations and a lot of their advertising budgets. Well, what I'm talking about here is values, like honesty, integrity, love for people, pursuit for personal growth, things that make you who you are, that define you. And you want to think about how you can bring those values into your marketing messages on a daily basis. Because, again, they make you genuine, they make you real, and that's what people are hungry for. Sentence number seven is the easiest one in the whole plan. It's, how much money are you planning to invest back into your marketing in the coming year? And that is a percentage of how much income you expect to make. Not how much income you made last year, but how much you expect to make in the next 12 months. And a good rule of thumb is, if you don't have an idea about what that is, anywhere from 5 to 10% of your projected income, you should be willing to invest that back in your marketing every month. And once you have that budget, and once you have your tactics, and once you have your benefits and your identity, and you know who your audience is, you put that into what's called a marketing calendar. In that marketing calendar, you map out the days of the week, the days of the month, and you list the tactics that you are going to apply on a specific day. You've got your hours down there. I'm going to do this from 1 in the afternoon to 4 in the afternoon, and I'm not letting anything interfere with that. And this is exactly what I'm going to do, and this is exactly what it's going to cost me, And by the way, 50 of the tactics in the book are free and cost nothing. And then when you've got that list of what you're going to do, you have another column in that marketing calendar, which is a grade column, and you go back at the end of the month and you grade your results and you look at, well, what did this tactic yield for me? How effective was it? How easy was it? How much did it cost? And then you give it a grade like you would a report card. Now, at the end of the month, the first month, you might not have a lot of results because you might have run some ads or done something. But after a couple of months, you can go back and you can take a look at this, and you can see exactly which tactics were working and which weren't. And you can then start to formulate your next month's plan and your next 6 months' plan based on what works. And what I'm saying is it's what worked for you, because this plan is based on tactics that were built around your personality. So this marketing calendar and this marketing plan is unique to every single person that does it. And yet, it is still a duplicatable system.
Two things that appear out of the overall philosophy of guerrilla marketing in general, not specific to guerrilla multi-level marketing. One of the things that I've read is, instead of connecting on getting new customers, aim for more referrals and more transactions with existing customers and larger transactions. Can you translate that into network marketing for me?
Yeah. And in fact, just while you're talking about referrals, one of the things that I've come across a lot in network marketing, and I'm sure you have too, is that they recommend that you always ask for a referral, regardless of whether the person that you're talking to signs up or not. And the interesting thing is that there's an ideal time to ask for a referral, and that is when the person you're talking to is happy with their product, if they bought a product from you, or they got a compensation check, or something like that. That's the time you ask for referrals, because that's the time when they're most likely to give them. In guerrilla marketing, the idea is not to count the number of sales you made at the end of the month. It's to count the number of relationships that you built. Because at the end of the day, sometimes if you don't make a relationship, it's pretty good chance that you're not going to make a sale. Or if you make a sale, it's going to be a one-time sale. But if you make that relationship, that's something that you can go back to later again and again and again, and you can build on that relationship. And that is the key. That is the binding element that will lead to a sale and lead to someone becoming a distributor and lead to more referrals. So it always comes back to relationship.
James, your list of 100 tactics, are there standouts for you, things that you think most about or best about that you've used?
Yeah, and my favorite is the 7-sentence marketing plan. That is actually one of the tactics. And it's something that I use with everything that I do in business. I do it with the opportunity. I do it with the lead products. And the reason that I do it is because it makes it so clear what action steps I'm going to take and when I'm going to take them. And it gives me a way of measuring the results. So I love that. I also like one of the tactics in there is target business-minded people. A lot of times when we're prospecting or something, we're talking to someone and say, we get it that this person is going to be an ideal customer. Well, you know, if you're going to build your network marketing business, you're going to move a lot faster if you can get business-minded people. Because business-minded people, you don't have to sell them on the idea of profit. They're in business to make a profit already, and often they're very open-minded to adding a new income stream. So I like targeting business-minded people. Another tactic which I like, and this is a very similar to what you said about being a product of your product, and part of that is what they call product knowledge, where you know as much as you can about your product, so when you're talking to people, you can give them the details. There's another area of knowledge that's not talked about in network marketing, but is very, very important, and that's called market knowledge. And market knowledge is knowing about your audience and about their needs. For instance, if you were in a network marketing company that was a travel company and they were about selling vacation packages, and you knew the number one vacation spots in the country, you would then know where, you know, where and how to market to that group, and you would get much better results because you'd know you'd have a steady stream of prospects. So market knowledge is very valuable. Another of my favorite tactics is communicating with stories, and I'm talking to the master of stories when I'm saying this, so I know you get this. But stories get people. They get them right off the bat, and they grab their attention, and it's a great way to start talking to people, and it's a great way to break the ice with someone, just tell them a little story. So those are kind of my favorites. I have more that I use, too, but I happen to be a big fan of the Internet, but a lot of people aren't, so I don't talk too much about that one.
Well, you're certainly free to talk more about it here, but before you do, I've got a question. Going back to the stories, you know, thank you for referring to me as the master of stories. I may be the master of a story, one story, but the fact of the matter is, James, I have difficulty constructing, coming up with stories. I can certainly use and remember and learn how to tell engagingly someone else's. But as a writer and as a guerrilla multi-level marketing coach, talk to me a little bit more about how we can develop stories, find stories, use stories.
I think the key there, and I didn't say this before, but now that you're bringing it up, is find your story. And your story is the one that's happened with, you know, something that you've experienced. Not just something that just happened, but something that actually had meaning for you. Years ago, at my dad's insistence, I took the Dale Carnegie course on public speaking. And I was young. I was in my early 20s, and I'm going to this thing, and there's 40 strange people in the room, and they're all business people, and I'm kind of like a, you know, I don't know what I am. And I go in there, and for each session, we have to get up and speak to these group of strangers. And one of the things that Dale Carnegie said is that when you're given a public speech, you always want to start with a story, and you want it to be a story of something that moved you, something that changed your life, something that had meaning for you. And I didn't get this until about the third class of that, when I was taking that course. And when I spoke from my heart, when I spoke about a story, something that happened to me that made a difference in my life, I could literally feel my words going out and touching those people. And I could feel their energy coming back to me. It was a palpable experience. And I think it's one that we tend not to think about it, but it's a very powerful way to connect with people, especially the stories that mean something to you.
How do we connect that? Help me connect that with its usefulness in network marketing. What am I looking for there? I mean, obviously, if I was blind and now I can see after taking, you know, this jungle juice, or if I used this product, I was lame, I couldn't walk, I used this product and now I'm, you know, running marathons, I got that story. That's pretty easy.
But how do you use somebody else's story?
Well, I guess that's one thing you do. If you don't have your own story yet,
yeah,
either in terms of income, what about the story of your dream? What about the story of, and I expect this to be poorly said by me right now, but I think you'll get the gist and be able to go further with it. No, I'm not making $1 million a year yet, and here's my dream. Here's my vision. Here's what I'm going for. And sharing that.
Well, I think it's a good thing. Now, I'm more inclined, and this is probably my personality type, I'm more inclined to reach down and look for things where I had an obstacle or something that was holding me back, and then came to a realization or an insight, or basically found a way to rescue myself from the situation. And I don't know if that's an instinctual thing or not, but I think that if people want to know about your dream, then that's great. And one of the things that I would do if I were going to tell people about my dreams and my visions is I would immediately ask them, and now I've told you my story, tell me what's your dream. and get them to start talking about, you know, what's important
good,
to them.
Good.
Yeah, immediately.
One of the things I've noticed, and perhaps I'm sensitive to this because we're doing this in the middle of August, and that, you know, we're bearing down hard on political nominating conventions and an election coming up in November, is that it seems to me that there are two kinds of approaches that the candidates can take. One is to bitch and moan and complain and run down the way things are. And the other is to paint a picture of the way things could be. In my history of looking at politics, and I believe in marketing, and this is a little contrary to normal marketing wisdom, which starts out with, hey, stir the pain. People are more motivated by escaping from pain, handling pain, making pain go away, than they are this wonderful positive vision of what it would be like without it, without even mentioning the pain. I remember back in my political history, the race between Reagan and McGovern, where McGovern was all criticizing how bad things were. I mean, that was the position he was put in, whereas Reagan was all, I'm creating an America that does this and blah, 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 you know, this wonderful vision. And Reagan trumped him. So I wonder about that in terms of marketing. It seems a contradiction because I've got evidence for both. One, that the stir the pain is very powerful and classic. And two, that a vision, a powerful vision of a positive future. I mean, isn't that like a benefit?
A positive future?
Yeah, isn't that like talking about the benefits?
It is. And I think you need that. I also think it depends on the venue through which you are, which you're working. Like if you're in a face-to-face with someone, talking about benefits and hot buttons is going to be pretty effective. But if you're in, like, if you're running ads where you don't actually see your prospect, you might get a better result by going for the pain avoidance issues because the person doesn't know you anyway. But they do know their own pains. You know, it just depends on the position in which you're the place where they're going to come across your marketing message. I've seen lots and lots of evidence that indicates that people are more inclined to move away from pain than they are towards pleasure. And one of my own personal pieces of evidence is that when I was researching keyword phrases for the internet about what people search for, particularly when I was looking at it in terms of products and some supplements, I found that people sometimes, it was as many as anywhere from 2 to 4 times more people search for diseases and the symptoms than they did the cures. So maybe that's the way we're conditioned in this country to think negatively. I don't know. I don't know why it is, but I know that it's there. And I think that if we're smart, we're going to take advantage of it, and the end result is that we get something to the person that can help them. We want to make a difference. I mean, that's my whole philosophy. That's the whole thing behind this guerrilla marketing. I'm not trying to force anybody to do business any particular way. I want to present them with a lot of different options and say, you know what, there's one of these ways. There might be 7 of these ways. There might be 50 of these ways of doing business that you really gravitate towards. And the heck with the rest of them. But within that group, within that shopping cart, so to speak, of ways to do business, you're going to find things that excite you, that give you confidence. And, you know, they've done numerous studies in business about what is it, what's the final decision, what's the thing that people, what makes them decide to buy. And over again, they keep coming up with this number one reason, and that number one reason is confidence. If a person feels confident about what it is, that's the thing that pushes them into the buying mode. So you as a network marketer, you want to do everything you can to increase your confidence. I go the opposite route of a lot of network marketing training that says get out of your comfort zone. I think that in a way it's good to do a little bit of that, but I think if you really want to encourage somebody, you get them into their comfort zone where they're strong. Look at the aspects of the things that they're doing in their life that that they're good at and help them in that area so that they start creating income from that. And once that happens, then they're going to choose to learn more because they're coming from a strong place, not a weak place. And I think that that's an approach that appeals to more people. And if we want a lower dropout rate in our network marketing organization, we need to find out what's going on with the masses. We can't just look for that 3 out of 100 people. I mean, maybe you can, but heck, 90% of my people that I signed up dropped out because I was applying the same old, same old, same old. So the method that I'm talking about is taking care of all those people that would have dropped out because you're giving them something that appeals to them uniquely. It's an important issue to me, and I think the Internet is just 1 out of 100 different ways. And it's something to just keep it in perspective that you're better off having 12 different ways to do your business than you are choosing one.
James, I got it. I deeply appreciate your message. And, you know, it's get rich slow, it's patience, it's authenticity, it's be real, it's really know what you're talking about, know your market, know yourself. All those things. It's just, and it's very interesting, but you know, when I first was aware of and attracted to the guerrilla marketing, I had a very different image. And what I've grown to appreciate so much about it is how real it is. Thank you for that, and thank you for you.
Well, you're welcome.
and thank you for this session, sir. I appreciate you very much, James Delahaye, and I encourage everybody to go and investigate. If you don't have a copy of Guerrilla Multi-Level Marketing, go get it. The website is easy to get to. It's www.gm.com. gmmlm.com. James Delahaye, once again, thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Thank you, John.
So, my friend and my partner, James Delahaye, and Guerrilla Multi-Level Marketing, the tremendous amount of practical stuff that James reveals and shares in there. The added support material, we've got a PDF of the 7-sentence marketing deal that he detailed for you, plus the 100 tactics checklist. And when you go back to the website, again, www.gmmlm, that's two M's in the middle, gmmlm.com. There's a sample chapter of the book in there. There's a lot of stuff which will reveal to you who and how this whole thing works. It's a wonderful toolbox quiver of arrows for you to look at. And keep in mind, please, the basic tenets of guerrilla marketing, specifically geared to small businesses, entrepreneurs, based on psychology instead of experience, judgment, guesswork, and instead of money, the primary investments of guerrilla marketing should be time, energy, and imagination. Primary statistic to measure your business is the amount of profits, not sales. And the bottom line for them, for the guerrilla marketers, is the guerrilla marketer should concentrate on how many new relationships are made each day, each week, each month. It just sounds perfectly network marketing to me. I'm very pleased to have been associated with this session. I hope you've enjoyed it.